Return the Faith. It's another bonus episode of the Smashing Pumpcast. I'm Frank Garcia Hale.
I'm Pat O'Brien, and we are here checking in, giving our initial thoughts and reactions on the little tastes we've had so far of the new Pumpkins album, Autumn.
Autumn. It's the way that Billy pronounces
it. God bless
it.
You.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Oh, it goes in tight. It goes in tight. Gutenberg's. I never knew how to say that right. So I just say bless you. Anyway, yeah. Pat. So the announcement was made. Autumn will feature 33 tracks and is a sequel to 1995's Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness and 2000's Machina, Machines of God. They, in this press release, they've left out the S. It says Machine of God. Whoopsie. Autumn was written and produced by Billy Corgan over the past 4 years. Each act of 11 songs will come out every 11 weeks on digital streaming platforms. Act 1 on November 15th, 2022. Act 2 on January 31st, 2023. And Act 3 on April 21st, a few days after my birthday, Pat, 2023,
hint, hint.
Along with the full physical release of the 33 album tracks on 3 CD and 4 LP format. And they just put up on Zuzu's exclusively the limited edition. You can get an autograph for $500 mm-hmm. with the special color vinyl, or you can get the basic for about $255. A little rich for our blood, maybe one day. But I'm holding on to my cash for the inevitable Machina reissue, which I imagine has to come out soon. There's a rumor about February or March.
Yeah, yeah, definitely that. But yeah, I think I'll $80 or whatever it is for the regular.
Right.
That's not chump change. So, you know,
well, for for 4 LPs, that's not too bad.
Yeah, yeah. That's no, that's about standard and that's a bargain compared to what I paid for the melancholy for.
Correct, yeah.
Final set. So, yeah, for all you bargain hunters out there, there will be the basic model too, it's an interesting rollout. I mean, that's clearly the intention here, you know, to try something different, both with the phases of the album coming out, but also the podcast, obviously, the kind of to like explain everyone through it.
And I think he had said on the podcast too that we're not going to do a breakdown of all the podcasts. We're not going to do that. If you want to listen to it, please go listen to it.
Yeah.
It's cool because it's, I mean, obviously, if you're listening to this, you're definitely listening to the 33 podcast.
There's probably some crossover.
We don't have to, like, sell you on anything. But yeah, I mean, the podcast that just came out earlier this week, podcast is called 33. It's co-hosted by NWA hosts Joe Galli and Kyle Davis, and has Billy on there explaining their debut, a new track every week. And he breaks down what the track is about. It's kind of cool that he gets to, as he said, because he didn't have this opportunity with Melancholy, and then Machina was a little confusing when he tried to explain that with the cartoon and whatnot, that didn't really happen. That this is a chance for him from the horse's mouth to be like, this is the theme of the album, this rock opera. Let me take you on this journey. Let me break it down for you so there's no confusion about what this is. And I think that's cool. There's no toes being stepped on for sure with our podcast because it's a completely different thing. And I love how he gets to break down some classic songs too and have these special guests like Mike Garson, which was really cool.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, he was awesome. And then also with Tommy Lipnick, who is an engineer and producer on all three of these for these this trilogy. But so I'm sure if you're listening to this, you're definitely listening to that. Go check it out. We're not going to break down what he's saying because why do that? That's
get
that's
it
his own
straight
podcast.
From the horse's mouth. Yep.
Yeah, just go over there and listen after you listen to this. But yeah, a lot of news dropped this week about Autumn. And they had debuted a TikTok video, or they had debuted the music video for this, directed by Linda Strawberry, all in one take live on TikTok, which is impressive as hell. I thought it was cool. We won't kind of break it down too much, but what are your first kind of blushes? Let's talk about the song that got released.
Yes.
And what were your thoughts on, just quick thoughts on the song? We're not going to break it down because we're going to too deep like we usually do, because we're going to save that for way down the line when we have time to digest the rock opera as a whole.
Yeah.
So in like a year or two, whatever.
Whenever
that is. But yeah, so what were your thoughts on the single and video?
Well, I goofed up as I was texting you about. I somehow got, I don't know if it was my time zones or if I just don't use TikTok very often. I think it was like I misunderstood the singles dropping, whatever. I missed it going out live, but by that point I was already seeing like clips of it and stuff. I thought it was cool. I mean, the video, I thought it was an interesting idea. I feel like this whole thing so far is kind of like trying different ways of releasing, and so it makes sense that the video would be kind of a slightly different thing too. Yeah, it seemed like a fun family affair. I liked the, you know, there's something kind of exciting about the moment when James and Jeff both kind of marched toward the camera. That was very cool.
Love it.
It was fun. It was kind of like reminiscent of some other Pumpkins videos, but it reminded me, I mean, like Frank and I, we come from sort of a like sketch performance background where we'd put on little live like shows, and it kind of reminded me of that. Like it kind of reminded me of Mod Night or something. And I would often,
when you pull it off.
Yeah. And I know we both were in groups that like were pretty ambitious, you know, so we would try stuff that. Like, and I always liked to end my sketches by writing in, and then they all do a choreographed dance and then like figure that out. You know, like a lot of my sketches ended with like some kind of choreography. So yeah, it was cool. I guess that even though it looked a little simplistic, like where we come from, like we can understand that there's like a lot that goes into that, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, part of me is sort of like, I hope at some point, especially with the kind of cinematic, you know, Billy's talking about this like a movie. It'd be cool if they did like a full blown music video or two, you know, for this, like full ass production and, you know, kind of depict like what he's talking about, you know, like in the sort of script, you know, like he's sort of like pitching us the movie. It'd be cool to see it in a future video. But I thought this was fun.
Absolutely.
Fun family and friends affair. I mean, like, at this point we can look at that and be like, oh, I know that person, I know that person, you know, like, yeah. So it's cool. What'd you think?
I mean, yeah, I thought it's very impressive and it's fun. I think at the first time watching, I was trying to watch it on TikTok and it's hard to watch it that way. So the next day I watched it on YouTube. And it was a lot a better experience for me, and I appreciated it more just because it was like, it's impressive, it's one take. But I agree with you that I hope, because of the cinematic scope of the album, we get something that's a little bit more professionally done, you know, video wise. I said professionally done, that's so reductive. I didn't even mean it like that, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, more
that doesn't feel like a kind of like a, yeah, again, it's a live production, so it's got a certain feel to it, but you know what I mean,
like, yeah, like a movie versus a little play, you know, like, you
exactly
know,
yeah,
neither are bad.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I know people have a big problem with Billy's outfits and whatnot, but that doesn't bother me because I know he's playing a character, and the idea of the Pumpkins just has become so much clearer to us, you know, as we've been doing this podcast.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
Overall for the album, you know, like the album idea, the concept, I'm along for the ride. I'm looking forward to being able to sit down with it and listen to it all the way through and experience it as a whole, as it's supposed to be, as opposed to kind of like the little singles here and there, because it's hard to get that context. Because one of the songs in the second podcast that they debuted was Butterfly Suite. And I even told you this, like, I was like, it's not my favorite, especially of the songs we've heard so far. It definitely feels very Siri.
Yeah.
You know, we loved Siri, but it wasn't my favorite of those. But I'm willing to bet, in the context of the album, seeing how the songs fit in, I'd probably like it a lot better.
Yeah, yeah. I feel the same way. It's like everything we've heard about this is how these are just kind of small, not small, but like one of many, many, many pieces of a greater whole. And it really is like a, all the songs serve that. So it is, yeah, like you said, it's hard to kind of have strong takes on them on their own. But yeah, for Butterfly Suite, you just kind of heard him paint the scene. So that kind of takes care of, like, you know, wondering what the song's about. I agree, it kind of moves at a similar clip and has kind of a similar vibe to a lot of the songs off Seer. I like where it goes around, like, vocally around, like, the minute and a half mark. He kind of, like, is sort of belting and kind of it's interesting to kind of hunt for, like, you know, because we've heard for so long this is a sequel to Melancholy and Machina, which it's easy to kind of lose track of the fact that that doesn't mean it's necessarily going to sound like either of those. Exactly, you know, it's easy to kind of start thinking like, and, you know, maybe that's the natural thing for people to expect. It's not necessarily what I want. I think the best case scenario is that it sounds totally new. But I think, like, you know, I thought there were some cool moments in Butterfly Suite. I like the, like I said, around 1:30, the way he's singing there, the kind of belting.
I agree.
And then around the little interlude around 2 minutes is also very pretty. It was cool, like, just tying it back to him talking to Mike Garson about symphonies and sort of, like,
conducting.
And just even talking about, like, how... We've already talked about this, and it's been pointed out many times that, like, in the 90s, with Melancholy, Billy and the band kind of wanted to make their Pink Floyd The Wall, you know? But somehow, and they did, it, like, they did their own juggernaut, like, concept album. But it didn't really, like, sound like Pink Floyd's The Wall. To me, this is sounding a little more... This is, like, him doing his The Wall in a way that kind of, like... I don't know. It feels. I don't know. It's all got like a very 80s vibe to it. It's got. Or it's
absolutely.
Like, it and even sonically kind of is sounding Floyd-ish to me.
I mean, yeah, that opening track that they have in the first podcast episode, the title track, Autumn. It's super. I mean, the reason why he said it was very Bowie inspired, but it has total themes of like Pink Floyd for sure.
Yeah.
And Pat, I'm going to be a little honest with you. Last night, what I did, I went up to my roof, smoked a J, listened to this song, and brother, I was off.
Yeah. That's the way to do it. I was seeing
stars dancing. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, you know, the whole thing definitely has kind of a unfurl your blacklight poster, spark that doobie, and sort of like, you know, there's a retro quality even to the album art. And
absolutely. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. I like that there's like a real kind of graininess. It feels very, which is interesting because it's a pretty simplistic like image on the cover. But yeah, I like it. I like the textures and the vibe, the feel of the look of it so far, but yeah, it's just a taste so far.
Yeah, it reminds me of like 70s sci-fi paperback books.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
like a Philip K. Dick edition or something, or, you know.
Yeah,
like,
or Herbert. Yeah, it's
right.
I really like that.
I
agree with you. I love those points of Butterfly Suite. Overall, I think that song's gonna grow on me. I love that title track because it's just kind of a fun little... It's funny because he mentioned that like this is kind of like setting the mood, and he mentioned that Le Doux Machina was supposed to be that for Machina, and I was kind of... It was interesting because I know there was a lot of pressure from the label at the time. It was like, but you could have started Machina proper, the one that got released with that.
Right.
I think people would have been okay with that. But I'm sure with the reissue, it is going to start the album. But I love that title track. It's cool. It kind of has that Flash Gordon wavy horn kind of sound, which I like. It's very Pink Floyd-y with the choir behind it, too. It also feels like a teaser trailer for the album.
Yes, definitely.
With like the moods and stuff.
Yeah, especially because it's not totally mellow. It's not totally like, whereas the Melancholy theme is just piano. Obviously, here you get Jimmy's kind of showing some stuff here and there, and like you get some like heavier guitars, which sound really cool. So it's, but it also it definitely sounds a little retro too. The Floydish vibe.
So they did these not so secret shows, but they did small club shows, or they are doing. We're recording this on Thursday morning. They had already played the Chicago Metro show, and then they're going to be playing the Irving Plaza show, as well as Fallon. They're going to be playing that as well. But at the Chicago Metro show, which didn't, the playlist didn't really change too much from the Rock Invasion 2 tour, with a couple of exceptions. I tried to tune in, but man, the stream kept getting interrupted by ads. It was very annoying. But the highlight, it sounded great, by the way, but the highlight was they debuted a new track called Empires. And this one, at first I thought they were doing Witch, because it kind of has that sound to it.
Yeah.
But I got excited because I can't wait to hear it recorded, because that guitar riff is sick. I was really into this one. And that little breakdown in the song kind of feels like a melancholy track.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes back into the riff. I really loved it. Yeah. What was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I thought it also kind of, I mean, it's tough to say this because it was a live version and not the album version. So it's like kind of mixed in, you know, they're playing old songs next to it, but it did feel like it could have been a sort of melancholy, it had a throwback vibe to it, and maybe that's just the way they're playing it. Maybe it sounds different on the album, but that was the one so far that kind of did harken back to like melancholy era, at least musically and kind of vocally. Lyrically, it definitely feels like it's like storytelling, you know, like it's on par with the rest of the, you know, serving the story kind of.
Right, which he said kind of broadly, the world that you think you see is not the world you think it is.
Right. TheMatrix.com.
That's right. Yeah. You red pill sheep.
Yeah. I take purple pills, and that makes you...
yeah, it's balance. You have to balance it out. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the theme of just, like, pulling back the veil.
Mm-hmm.
And it does kind of fit into that. And Beguiled specifically does address that, and Billy talks about that, and you can listen to that in the podcast. But yeah, I thought it was a cool song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And Beguiled, I didn't really talk too much about this, but it almost sounds like Solera meets Ugly meets Seer.
Definitely.
You know, it's kind of a combination of all those things, and I love that guitar chug and bass, the queen like harmonizing of the guitars, and that little Zero-esque kind of solo that it has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the song grew on me. I think the first I said also it reminds me of something from the 80s, but I can't put my finger on it, which is exactly what you said. It's like it has that 80s kind of feel to it. When I first heard the song, I liked it, but I was still like, okay, I'm going to have to listen to this a few times. But in the past couple of days, I've been listening to it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I sat down and listened to it with headphones on, of course, as I always say, this band just works that way. It sounds really great with headphones, and I'm excited to sit down with the album as a whole with headphones and listen to all the way through.
Yeah, I had a similar experience with it, listening to it, because, you know, the very first place I'm checking it out is on my phone, like the shittiest, with no headphone, like the shittiest possible audio. Then, you know, but then I listened to it in the car when I was driving. It was loud and the bass is up, and it's kind of like feeling, because it's sort of like, it's weird. It's like, I don't know if it has a chorus per se. Like, I did, when I was just listening to it, I was like, I wish it, like, took me somewhere. Like, it feels like it's building to something. It feels like all build, you know, kind of.
Right.
And not as much release as I was craving or something. But then when I played it loud and was kind of, like, immersed in it and feeling the bass rattle my tush a little bit, like, I feel like I kind of, I appreciated it more. Because it sounds good, you know, it's rock. It's a rockin' track. Oh, but it's funny you mentioned Ugly too. That they've been playing Ugly, like a plugged in version of Ugly lately. It's almost like Lita. It is like very reminiscent of that song played that way. So I don't know. If that's just a coincidence or what, but
it might have influenced it a little bit. Yeah, I think most of the criticism I've seen, I think the people who weren't happy with Seer are a little happier with this track. They definitely love Empires, but what I've been seeing is that people said that it's a little too repetitive. That exactly what you said, where there's like a lot of build, but it doesn't really go anywhere. But I've seen like, well, we don't know what that is in the context of the album.
Yeah,
it could fit more of that. So it's a pace, which I think is interesting because that song is in disc two. And you would think they would release something from disc one.
Right,
if
right.
That's the first thing being released. But just kind of reading through the titles here. Autumn, Butterfly Suite, The Good and Goodbye, Embracer, With a Do, I Do, Hooligan, Steps in Time, Where Rain Must Fail, or Fall, pardon me, Beyond the Veil, exactly like I said, pulling back the veil, Hooray!
Hooray!
With an exclamation point, we got the exclamation points, come on, let's go!
Yep. Add that to that little playlist there. Yeah!
Oh, that reminds me. That the song Butterfly Suite kind of reminds me a little bit of Pretty Pretty Star from Future
it does.
Embrace.
It definitely does. Yeah.
We got the Gold Mask. And then disc two, we got Avalanche, Empires, Neophyte, Moss, Nightwave, Space Age, Every Morning, To the Grays, Beguiled, The Culling, Springtimes. And then disc three, we got Sojourner. How do you say that word, Pat?
I would say Sojourner. Like Sojourner Truth. But like, I don't know. So yeah, I think you could probably put some stank on it and anywhere you want. But yeah, Sojourner.
That Which Animates the Spirit.
My only
canary trainer.
My only note on that is that they should have spelled That Which Animates the Spirit. That WYTTTCH.
That's actually, it's funny witch. You said that. Wait, Pat, it's funny you say that because that's exactly what I did. I read it that way.
My
mind wanted it to be witch so bad. That
witch, and I'll tell you about that witch. One thing about that witch animates the spirit.
The canary trainer, pacer, in lieu of failure, Cenotaph.
You got me on that one.
God damn it, Pat. I'm missing all this up. Harmageddon. I think it's because I'm expecting the Billy twist.
Right, right. That's a
Harmageddon.
Twist. Harmageddon is, that's a good twist.
That's a twist in itself. Fireflies, Intergalactic, Spellbinding, and Of Wings. So that's the full track list there for the album. Eager to hear, and you can kind of guess what the sound might be. That's kind of fun to be like, I bet Harmageddon is a rocker, but I guess we'll see. So those are overall thoughts. Pat, any kind of closing thoughts on that? All the news that's been out this week?
Yeah, it's a lot, but it's also, I think, it's interesting, the rollout of this podcast where he kind of explains the story. I think that I appreciate that, but then part of me is also like, it's kind of like that thing of I also crave sitting down with the full thing, letting it kind of wash over me and kind of feeling my own feelings about it before getting, you know what I mean? Like watching a movie, like there's a certain element that's like watching the Q&A with the director before the movie as opposed to after or something. But,
correct.
So I look forward, I think no matter, and then maybe I'll be like, oh, I need to refer to this podcast to like make this make sense. But regardless, I look forward to sitting down, blocking off some time when this is all out and just plunking down in front of the whole thing. Because even as we talk about these individual songs, I keep thinking about that conversation with Mike Garson about like symphonies and how like it seems like such a thing from antiquity, such an old thing that's set in stone, you know, but really the people who wrote the famous ones loved to improvise but just didn't have the means of recording that, so they had to, you know. So it's just got me thinking, like, maybe this isn't even a series of songs, maybe like each disc is sort of a song in a way, you know, like each right. chunk is like its own piece of music. So that makes it all the more hard to kind of judge it, not that we're here to judge it, but it's I'm looking forward to the full shebang.
Yep. I'm here for the ride.
Yeah.
So that's our first blush on all the news this week. And thank you so much for supporting the Pumpcast. Pat is going to be taking a little break.
I got some family stuff that continues to, you know, just require my attention and just, you know, life stuff and everything. But you haven't heard the last of me, and you're in good hands with Frank and with, you know, some more guests and some patrons. And I'll be back before we wrap up this crazy ride. But thank you to everybody for understanding. I love you all. I love Frank. I love the cast. And yeah, you haven't heard the last of me, so don't worry. But
thank you, Pat. We love you.
Yeah, I love you too, buddy. And I love all of you out there for listening to us. You know, I really do. Yeah. It's I appreciate it so much. So
stay tuned. You have more Pat coming up, because we have our If All Goes Wrong episode coming out within the next week.
Yes.
We're just kind of releasing this quick and dirty today. But thank you so much for listening. And until next time, we bid you a fond farewell.
And good night.